Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Sharissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Looking Up Show coming to you live Wednesday, the 26th of March. My name is Charissa and I'm joined here in studio by my co-host, Danny. How are you, Danny?
It's great to be here. I'm very happy, very pleased to be here.
And me too. We're both in uniform today.
We are.
And our producer, Rochelle, who was in uniform last week, is now making sure we're in uniform this week.
I made them look good. I totally forgot. Hello, everyone.
We can swap next week.
She does have a very colourful, is that a floral top you're wearing, Rochelle? Is that flowers?
All flowers, bright and happy.
Bright and happy for a looking up day.
Oh,
and
wow.
We hope this finds you bright and happy too, wherever you are. And if you're not feeling that way, we hope that this program lifts your spirits as we look up and remember the promises that God has made to us.
Amen.
So today we have an exciting program.
We certainly do, as always.
We always have one.
As always, as we're 1 week closer to the coming of Jesus.
And that's always exciting.
That is very, very exciting. And by the way, we need to mention Rochelle has had her 10th birthday just the other day.
Happy birthday, Rochelle.
Her 10th birthday.
We did that last time, Pastor.
I remember us talking about it, but we can say it again because she probably needs another one.
I've forgotten all about it. Have mercy.
How very nice of you to tell me twice.
I'm not talking about her physical birthday.
Oh.
If that's what you're referring
to.
I'm speaking of her spiritual birthday.
Yes, do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
She's got two birthdays.
Yeah.
That's why you confuse me, because for my actual birthday,
it's on a leap
I'm actually,
year.
I don't even know what I'm up to, 11 or something, leap years.
Yeah.
So when you said 10, we thought you were doing that again. But yes, so Pastor Denny actually rebaptized me in 2015.
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful. Yeah, so that really is a 10th birthday.
It was just the other day.
Isn't that cool?
March 21.
Isn't it cool how when you can give your life to Jesus and be baptized, it's like a brand new start.
It is.
Fresh start.
Born again.
Absolutely.
No better start than that.
Yeah. New birth.
So maybe people want a fresh start. That's the best way to have one.
There is no better fresh start, indeed.
Awesome. So you said there's lots to talk about.
Lots to talk about. But before we go to where we're going to talk about today, big shout out to our friends at the Perfect Storm,
Faith of
Emperor. They finally, can you believe it, they finally gave us a plug. And like Justin, he went to town. You remember we had him on?
Yeah, we had him last week. Fantastic.
And, you know, I really put the hard word on him. I'm like, Justin, what's up? You know, where's this reciprocal shout out? You know, these reciprocal tariffs that are going to come into place the next time we're on in a week's time. So Justin, he really talked it up, talked about our program and encouraged the listeners to tune in, and he even said that next time he's on the show, we're going to talk about the positive impact of goat's milk.
Mm.
So people may be wondering, how does that work into the end time scenario? You'll have to tune in the next time Justin is on board. We're going to talk about the end time impact of goat's milk.
Well, can't wait for that. It's going to be very good. So when is he coming
back? That's going to be a story that you wouldn't have heard in the news.
No, that's right. And when is he coming back?
He's coming back probably next week. I'm thinking next week if he's free. Okay, if he's free, I've got to get in touch with you. But
he doesn't even know he's coming back next week.
Look, he's only a president of a conference, so he's got plenty of time. They generally don't have too much to do these days. If you're listening, Justin.
God willing, we'll have him here then.
No. So Justin's a good bloke. So he and Kyle and Phil and folk, I do want to encourage you to tune into The Perfect Storm. You can watch it on YouTube. Just go to the Faith FM YouTube and you can watch it there. It's uploaded every week. It's also on the radio 4:30 every Friday. And they have a giveaway. You know what their giveaway is every week? Have you tuned in?
No.
Not yet, but you need to.
I listen to the podcast, but I can't remember.
Their giveaway is this Bible marking guide.
Every week.
Every week they give this away. Yeah. And I think they'd run out the last time.
I have one of those, and it is really good.
It's brilliant. A Bible marking guide. It goes through all the important subjects in the Bible, and it helps you to understand how you can mark your Bible, how you can go from one scripture to another. So with your Bible open, you can lead someone through a Bible study. You don't actually need any study guide. It's all in your Bible.
Wow.
So it's like a Bible marking guide. It's really fantastic. So you need to tune in 4:30 on a Friday when they're live, in order to get that Bible marking guide. They offer it pretty much every week. Or I'm sure if you send them a message through their YouTube, just send them a message, say, Danny from the Looking Up Show, you know, told us that you guys are giving away this Bible marking guide. I want my own copy. And it's free.
Wow. Well, that's a good plug you've just given for them.
I've given them a big plug.
And, yeah, well, we're actually going through a series now at Hamilton called The Simple Truth. It's a series that was done up in Mooloolamba.
Yes, great series. Very similar.
Very, very, very similar.
Mm.
And so, yeah, if anyone wants that as well, you can come and get a free guide, like a study guide that you can give to someone else. Like in your Faith FM Lake Macquarie Club.
Yeah.
You could use that sort of a thing there.
We could. There's still only two members. There's still only two members.
Two very important members.
Two very important members that I'm going to go drop in and see tomorrow at Munmora. Awesome. So anyway, so if you're listening, if you guys are listening, Eugene and Ilsa, also one of my neighborhood friends, Anne, she listens in as well.
Good. Yeah, that's
so
great.
Big hi to you. Anyway, we're going to be dealing with current events, and then we're going to continue with Israel in Bible prophecy.
That's right. We started this last week.
We did.
This is part two. Looking forward to it. It's going to be an excellent discussion there on what the Bible says. Stay with us, folks, because we've got Neville Peter, who's actually blind. He's going to bring to us, I See God. How amazing is that?
I love your word. It is my meditation. Just like a tree, it anchors me. It's my firm foundation. Oh, how I love your truth. All that it is revealing. Grace and mercy comforting me in sins I've been concealing. I walk beside still waters, lie down in pastures green. I've seen all the beauty that few have ever seen. My cup is overflowing. I am led by your staff and rod. And here in this moment, I see God. I love your law, for it is your righteousness. In it I see your purity, your justice, and your holiness. Oh, how I love this gospel, the gift that keeps on giving. It is my hope, my only hope, my joy and reason for living. I am walking beside still waters. I am lying in pastures green. I am seeing all the beauty that few have ever seen. My cup is overflowing. I am led by your staff and rod. And here in this moment, I am walking beside still waters. I am lying in pastures green. I have seen all the beauty that few have ever seen. Oh, my cup is overflowing. I am led by your staff and rod. And here in this moment, oh, here in this moment, I see God.
You enjoyed that song, Neville Peter, bringing to us one that he wrote, I See God. And as I mentioned just before the song, he is actually blind, but he's written there a song, I See God, and he's a really wonderful Christian man. Wonderful ministry that he has, helping people to look up matter where they are. So was he blind
from birth?
I believe so.
Wow. So the first thing that he will see with his eyes is Jesus coming.
That's right.
Isn't that incredible?
That is amazing.
And I remember a couple when I was a kid that came to my church in St. Albans.
Yep.
You know, I don't know if you've been to St. Albans Church there in western suburbs of Melbourne.
I have, yes.
The ethnic church there. It's a Croatian church today. And I remember this couple, they were a married couple, and they were blind from birth.
Wow.
And they sang beautifully, and I think she played the piano. And I remember them saying that the first thing they are looking forward to seeing is the face of Jesus.
And then the face of each other.
Oh, wow, yes.
After that.
So, beautiful. So that's something to look forward to. And speaking of, you know, the coming of Jesus, there's just so much sin and suffering and sorrow.
Oh, absolutely.
Today.
Yeah.
And, you know, I shared with Charissa before we went on air in the latest Time magazine here from March 24. The very center of the magazine, and I'll show my friend Rochelle, is a photo, aerial photo of Rafah, the city of Rafah in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the people there are celebrating Ramadan, and you can see the lights there, Rochelle, the lights and the markets and so forth. And look at the buildings. It's destruction beyond comprehension. So if you're thinking, what am I looking at? You may need to go online and just take a look. I'm not sure if the online edition of Time magazine, March 24, has it. But it's horrendous. You can't really describe it. There are just it looks apocalyptic. It literally looks like what I thought of. This is what the world will look like, or close to look like, when that final great earthquake hits, when Jesus arrives,
when
the buildings are leveled, when everything is leveled. It literally looks like, and there's people walking around and living in this space.
It's amazing.
You know, at the moment,
it makes me feel bad.
Oh, and you know, we complain about our neighborhoods.
Yeah.
this is incredible. There's literally not a building that hasn't been impacted. Most of them, I would say 50 to 60% of them are pretty much leveled.
Mm-hmm.
There's concrete here, there, and everywhere.
It looks like a war zone.
It does look like a war zone. It looks like an earthquake. Earthquake 10.0 on the Richter scale has come and just
leveled the place. The rubble.
And so as I looked at that, I thought, when Jesus comes, there'll be no more of this. You know, the people there, we've got to remember, the war is going on again. Mm. You know, they had a pause there for a number of weeks while there was a temporary ceasefire, and that broke down. And they're being bombed now more than before. Weapons that are being used that the Israelis are dropping on the people of Gaza are far more potent than what Biden provided.
Wow.
Apparently Donald Trump's allowed them to use even more destructive weapons in order to do what they believe they need to do. And so, you know, hundreds more are being killed every day.
Mm.
There's no food going in. You know, the Israelis have stopped the food trucks going in, the medical trucks. I think they've turned off electricity. I'm not sure if that's back on.
Yep.
But there are 2 million people living in this place. So we really, really need to pray for the people of Gaza. You know, the people, they are probably suffering more than any other group around the world.
Hmm.
And, you know, there are children there, and, you know, they're not responsible. I mean, 99.9% of the people are not responsible.
Yeah.
So we need to be praying for the people of Gaza that there will be a ceasefire, permanent ceasefire.
Amen.
That this destruction, this absolute horror may come to an end for these precious people.
Amen. We're looking at I can see the picture. Our listeners can't, but I'm looking at this picture of physical, literal, visible destruction, and feeling also that it's a real picture of our world in a spiritual sense. Like we are, according to Scripture, in the middle of what has been called the great controversy between Christ and Satan. It's a war going on behind the veil. Like, most people cannot discern it, but all the terrible news, all the pain, all the broken homes, all the hurt, all of the junk that's going on in people's lives, you know, this is also a fallout from a spiritual conflict that's so much greater than all of us. And just reminds me of Paul, you know, talking about putting on the whole armor of God. He says, I'll just read to you one thing. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." And then he goes on and outlines, you know, putting on the armor of God. And then he says at the end in verse 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." So in that sense, like, we are not living in Gaza, and what a terrible life it would be to be there right now for people that sadly are there experiencing this. But we are all of us caught up in the midst of another conflict.
We're in a war zone,
and many people are unsuspecting. They have no idea. But if you're going through a tough time, our listeners, you're listening to the right show. This is a call to look up. God is calling us to look up. And in here, you know, I feel like when he calls us to pray always, that's prayer is looking up.
Amen.
Look up. Look up to God. Look up to the only one who can keep you safe and help you in this time, which I should tell everyone about our giveaway.
Yeah, do that, because it's a great book. My wife and I, we are reading it for our devotional every morning.
Oh, beautiful. Well, the book.
I can speak on the incredible impact of this book.
All right.
What is it, Sharissa?
The book is called Messiah by Jerry D. Thomas. And do you want to describe the book for our listeners?
Sure. Look, it's a modern day adaptation of the book written by Ellen White more than a century ago, who she wrote it here in Australia.
She did.
She was in Australia when she wrote this book, Desire of Ages. And so this book was over a century ago. And this book, The Messiah, is put it in today's language. And so I've read The Desire of Ages. I love that. I'm listening to that as I go for my walks with my little best friend, Gracie. And we are reading this book, The Messiah, for our morning devotions, my wife and I, as we pray together before we jump into our days, before we reconnect usually at the end of the day.
Yes.
And it's just an incredible book, The Messiah. It's a beautiful book on the life of Christ. It goes through the ministry and the life of Christ from the beginning all the way through to the end.
And it's a really easy to understand language.
Oh, I'm telling you, this is a classic. The book Desire of Ages is one of the greatest books on the life of Christ. It's so wonderful that the Library of Congress in the United States of America has it in their library. The Library of Congress.
That's amazing.
Absolutely. So they say this is just a classic, and it is. It's a classic on the life of Christ, The Desire of Ages or The Messiah. Easy to read. It's a lot shorter. The language is, you know, 21st century language rather than, you know, 19th century language. It was 19th century language when she wrote it. So
that's right. Well, that's a great plug. So we don't know how many of our of these books we have yet. Maybe Rochelle will tell us. She'll give us a signal. But in the meantime, just keep this number handy for when we give away the code word. It's 0488817624. And so 0488817624. And Shell has given us a green light saying, if people text, you can be a receiver today. So that's exciting.
Oh, wow. So it sounds like it might be without limit, Rochelle. Yeah. Is that right?
It sounds like an open check there.
It does.
Well, I think the chain of events means that sometimes the quantities that we see aren't always perfectly accurate. So Shell had said to me,
it's okay to run something, even if there's a couple of copies, 2, 3, 4, and we'll just process them. So try and give everybody who asks.
We'll act in faith.
That's right. Yeah. Rochelle's, they could be 50.
Rochelle's making an executive order as we speak.
Does she have a pen in her hand? Did she sign it?
she's like showing us now.
Yeah. That's exciting. Well, keep the number handy, 0488-17624, and we'll give the code red a little bit later.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's, before we get into our Bible study, remember, folk, what our Bible study is on? We're going to continue
Israel.
On Israel in prophecy. And so this is a real hot button topic right now. So we're going to look at and continue this journey and finding out what the Bible has to say. So we want to find out the truth, Charissa, as always. You know, we're not interested in hype. We're not interested in
fake news.
Fake news, misinformation. We want to know what the Bible has to say. So we're going to let Scripture unpack that. But before that, we're going to continue to look at what's taking place in world headlines when it comes to Bible prophecy literally being fulfilled before our very eyes. And you know, it's been 2 months or so now, just over 2 months since Donald Trump was since he began his presidency on January 20. And so I've kind of become a little bit desensitized, to be honest.
Getting used to it.
I'm getting used to this rapid movement of events that is taking place like we've never seen before in our lifetime. We had Justin share that the other day. You know, Justin, he's like super old. He's been around forever. And so if Justin says that, then you know what time of day it is.
Mm.
All right, he's definitely not going to be on the program after what I just said. Super old. Did you hear what I just said? Yes. You were trying to ignore me. I know, which I'm thinking, did I say that? My mate, Justin, top bloke, top bloke. He doesn't look a day over 60. Top bloke. No, anyway. All right, back to the stories here. So what's kind of making news headlines right now is this Signal fiasco. Amongst the Trump White House.
Can you explain it to me? There's been some leak.
Yes, there's been some leak. So anyway, Donald Trump has been enjoying this honeymoon period since November 5, since he was elected. And the poor Democrats, they have like been really struggling. They've been battered and bashed and bruised. They haven't been able to come up for air since November 5. Long time. That's like, what, four months, or I don't even know how long it is to now coming up to five. Anyway, finally, they have a moment in the sun because we have the Pete Hegseth, who is in charge of the defense.
Right.
He is the Secretary of Defense with a number of other individuals, including J.D. Vance and some others. I won't go through all the names, but there's a number of individuals, at least a dozen or so high officials in the United States administration of Donald Trump, and they were on the Signal app. You're familiar with the Signal app?
Yes.
Okay, that's a social media app. It's supposed to be very secure, where messaging is encrypted and da-di-da-di-da. It's one of the most secure apps. I don't use it. I've got it on my phone. I don't know if you've got it on your phone. I've got it on my phone.
And there are people that
share things with me. Our friend Justin Stafford from Big Camp, he's got us on the Signal app, and he shares messages with the Big Ten team. Yes. Anyway, so basically what they were doing is they were on this app, all these individuals, and they were messaging one another in connection with the plans for bombing the Houthis in Yemen, which took place just over a week ago, 10 days or so ago, where the bombing began. And so they were doing this, and then all of a sudden, a reporter from the Atlantic newspaper, Jeffrey Goldberg is his name. He's one of their top reporters. He was accidentally invited into this group.
Right.
He's a reporter.
How does that happen?
Well, that's the big deal at the moment. So he was there, and he was watching in real time this war plan that was being constructed by these individuals, you know, on Signal. And for example, you know, 11:44 a.m. on a Saturday morning, you know, Pete Hegseth texted that in 2 hours or so, the weapons are going to begin falling on the Houthis there in Yemen. And at first he thought this was a hoax. You know, at first he thought this is, you know, some kind of hoax. Someone's trying to rope him in, you know, maybe the Russians or maybe Chinese or someone. They're trying to rope him in so that he, like, you know, shares on this story, that he reports on this story, and he'll have egg on his face.
Right.
So this guy's been around for a while, so he just waited. So thought, okay, let's see if this is true. And guess what? Right on time, just as the messaging shared, right on time, the first bomb started falling at Yemen. He was like in the car park, he says, you know, of one of the shopping centers, and he's hearing the news coming through that the Americans are bombing, and he's like, this is real.
Wow.
This is real. This is not some kind of hoax. And he stayed on there a bit longer, and all these different war plans are being shared, and he felt like, I shouldn't be here. This is bad. I shouldn't be here. So he logged himself out of this Signal app, and then he wrote it up in an article. And the article, what was it entitled? Where are we here? I haven't got it here.
Oh, we're going to have to find it. Maybe after the song, too. Yeah.
Oh, are we up to the song? Yeah. All right. Find it, and then I'll share the rest of the story.
I'm completely ready to hear the end of the story.
And how there's a spiritual lesson in this. There's an actual spiritual lesson that the Lord taught me.
Don't go anywhere. We're going to listen to the Heritage Singers bring to us now, These Are They. I love this one. These Are They. So enjoy this, and then we'll hear the end of this news story.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Celebration and the welcome home banner flies on. You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Do you have Bible questions? Join me, Lyle, at 5 o'clock every Thursday during Afternoons with Sel. We give Bible answers for all your difficult questions. Our commitment? We will leave no Bible question unanswered. So send in your questions to The Shell Show on 0488 880856.
Set my heart on things above, where you reign on the throne of God. Jesus, I will look to you.
Beautiful program intro there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you come up with that, did you, Rochelle? That was powerful.
That was beautiful. In case people haven't already worked out, this is the Looking Up Show, and we're delighted that you're joining us. And we have today's giveaway. It's called The Messiah by Jerry D. Thomas, a great adaptation of the book Desire of Ages in modern language, which is just the most wonderful commentary you could find. As Pastor Danny mentioned, it's in Congress, the Library of Congress. So, it's on commentary on the life of Christ from his
inspired commentary.
Inspired.
Powerful.
Yeah. So this is will be a blessing to you. If you're interested in getting your own copy, keep listening when we give the code word, the number that you can text it to, and any other comments or things you'd like to add to today's broadcast, 0488 17624. And I see Rochelle is trying to get the mic.
Well, when we gave this away on the breakfast show, I said something. I thought, oh, I should say how I love this book too. This book was actually a book that I was reading just before God opened my eyes and I had my conversion experience with him. I'm forever in awe that somehow he was still holding on to me with just this thread of love when I was like the furthest away from him, living a very unholy, unhealthy life. And yet I was reading this book and I was enjoying it. And I just think to myself, wow, yeah, it was a very powerful book.
Amen.
Yeah,
Thank you for sharing that.
It's
personal
a book,
testimony.
Absolutely. It's a book that I often give baptisms as a gift. I will often give this book to, especially young people.
Yes.
Definitely, if it's a young person,
yeah,
a teenager in particular, they get this book. That's like, that's my go-to book because it's powerful, because if they're going to get to know Jesus, everything else will fall into place.
Amen.
As you get to know Jesus through his word, you will fall in love with him. You'll want to live your life for him. And then, you know, your life will be so different with Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's a great book. So parents, if you've got teenagers in particular, you need to get this book for them. And today is your opportunity to get
right.
a freebie.
There you go. So keep listening. 0488 17624. And before we went to that beautiful song, you were telling us about this signal leak.
Yes, this is huge. On any given day, this will probably take up at least 1 week to a month worth of, you know, news stories and headlines. But because there's so much going on in America, on any given day, this thing will probably peter out, I would say, you know, very, very soon, because there'll probably be another Titanic story that will take the media away to, you know, a different part of the news cycle. But that, the title, you found it?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
The Trump Administration Accidentally Texted Me Its War Plans by Jeffrey Goldberg.
Okay. Do you want to read that little section underneath the title if you've got it there?
Yes. U.S. national security leaders included me in a group chat about upcoming military strikes in Yemen. I didn't think it could be real. Then the bomb started falling.
So this is incredible. So the big
question is, how did he get there?
Yeah, well, yeah, they want to get to the bottom of that. So right now, literally in the last 24 hours, the Democrats in the Senate have been grilling these individuals. They've been grilling them big time. I watched some of the footage from this grilling, because a lot of these Democrat senators, they're lawyers. They are literally, they're practicing, as in they form a lawyer. So they know how to grill people. And so these guys, I've never seen politicians squirming as much as these guys were. They were in the hot seat. Most of the time they were saying, I can't recall. Not sure. Trying to wiggle and squiggle, like there's nowhere to go. Were they apologizing? No, they were not apologizing, because then they would be taking ownership. And Donald Trump, these are his buddies that he himself selected. These are hand-picked Donald Trump cabinet members. These are his closest in his cabinet. And he basically said, look, you know, really nothing to see here. Yes, shouldn't have happened, not the way we do things, but it's an innocent mistake. They will learn from it. A good lesson to learn.
Mm.
If this was anybody else, heads would have rolled.
Yeah.
Heads would have rolled. So anyway, it's not the end of the story. The Democrats are going to make hay while the sun is shining, because this is their only moment in the sun since November 5.
Wow.
That's a long time they've had to wait. They've been in the wilderness.
Yeah.
In the political wilderness. Anyway, enough of that. What lesson did I learn?
What spiritual lesson did I learn?
As I'm reading and listening to this, you know, this incredible, unprecedented security leak, I thought to myself, God has leaked to us, and you're nodding because you know where I'm going. God has leaked to us Satan's war plans for how he seeks to deceive and destroy the entire world population at the end of time.
Mm.
And God has leaked Satan's plans, and they are found in the book of Revelation.
That's true.
The book that we go to all the time.
Wow. That's powerful. That's a sermon right there.
Absolutely. So God is saying to you and I don't want you to be deceived.
Yep.
Because the enemy will seek to deceive almost the entire world. In fact, go to Revelation 13. You know, we've been going there every week, and we will continue to go there because it's all happening in the United States of America. And the United States of America is front and center in Revelation chapter 13.
Mm.
They're in the very heart. If you want to read Revelation 13, verse 8.
All right. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Okay. Who will they ultimately be worshiping?
Satan.
The dragon and Satan. Except for a group of people who will have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Guess why? Because they are in the Word.
Yes.
If you remain in the Word, in God's Word, you will remain undeceived.
That's powerful.
You will remain
undeceived. That is powerful.
Undeceived.
You know, the early, I've said this before on this program, but I'll say it again. The early Adventist pioneers of the Seventh-day Adventist movement, they used to have a greeting for one another, and it was, "May your name remain." And speaking of, may our names remain in the book of life.
Amen. Amen. That's just so beautiful. And I'm not making this up, folk, because the dragon in Revelation 12 verse, where is it? Revelation 12 and verse 9 is clearly identified with his war plan. If you want to read Revelation 12 and verse 9.
So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Yeah, how much of the world does he want to deceive?
The whole world.
The whole world. And he wants the whole world to bow the knee to him and to worship him in this end time conflict. And so God has given to us Satan's end time war plan
in signs and symbols.
Yeah, yes, in order to deceive. So if we have our faces in God's book,
yep.
If we have our faces planted in God's book, we will remain undeceived.
Beautiful.
He cannot deceive us. So that was the lesson that I got from that.
That's a great lesson.
Powerful, powerful.
Thank you for sharing.
All right, so interesting. This was, there's so much going on, and just let me share with you in connection with that, but I want to move on to just at what pace things are taking place. So this is from the ABC News. This was Tuesday, March 25, which is yesterday. The Atlantic magazine editor accidentally included in Trump National Security Team's group chat. Okay, this is how it begins. A U.S. magazine editor appears to have been sent sensitive military plans after President Donald Trump's National Security Team accidentally included him in their group chat. And it goes on, talks about, it says, where are we here? Where are we here? Was that the one? No, I think it was this one. Yeah. No, it says here, this would normally be a huge matter, but in this day and age, it's something that is just going to bypass. They're just going to bypass it. It's no big deal. You know what I mean? Because there's just so much going on. And this reminds me of another article from Monday, this Monday, the 24th.
Uh-huh.
ABC, we're at a turning point in world history, but our leaders are distracted. A turning point in history. It says here, this is a time when clear political vision and decisive leadership is called for, when the stakes, and talks about, you know, our federal budget that we had the other day, and it talks about where we are in history. It says, you know, we have never had a time like this.
Mm.
You know, America's democracy is under attack, it says here, from an autocratic cabal of political extremists and billionaires, and goes on. Of course, it's a left-leaning newspaper, so it's going to be very negative towards Donald Trump and his administration. But it goes on here and it talks about all the things that are taking place in our world mm-hmm. right now, just in this one paragraph. And then it quotes Lenin. You remember Lenin?
Yes.
Okay. It quotes Lenin, who says, there are decades when nothing happens and there are weeks where decades happen. This saying, it says here, is getting a solid workout these days. But last week, in a single day on which decades happened, was Tuesday, March 18. And it goes through and it's got about 10 to 12 different points of what happened in the world in one day.
Can you share them?
All right. All right. Germany's parliament, the Bundestag, voted to end 80 years of fiscal shackles and constraints on military spending
mm-hmm.
to Trump-proof its and Europe's economy, changing the course of European history. So it made this massive vote.
Mm-hmm.
80 years of fiscal shackles have been taken off. China launched its own fiscal stimulus program for the same reason, potentially changing the course of its own history. In a phone call with U.S. President Trump, Russian President Vladimir Putin refused a 30-day ceasefire and started bombarding Ukraine again, all in one day. Israel resumed its bombardment of Gaza on the same day. The U.S. Federal Reserve kept interest rates on hold but pivoted towards easing policy, saying the impact of tariffs was likely to be transitory, prompting markets to rise sharply. Trump described the judge who blocked the deportation of more than 200 men under the 1798 Alien Enemies Act as a radical left lunatic. On the same day, Donald Trump is calling the federal judge a radical left lunatic. When have you heard that? All right. Trump fired two commissioners of the Federal Trade Commission, even though courts have established that it's illegal for the president to remove officials of agencies created by Congress. AI, this is another one now. AI computer chip maker NVIDIA unveiled the next generation of its artificial intelligence products in an attempt to combat the Chinese firm DeepSeek, which is producing AI models at a fraction of the cost. China's advanced humanoid robot, Unitree G1, performed the world's first robot side flip. And then finally, Microsoft and a Swiss company called Innate announced they were collaborating to commercialize Innate's digital brain technology.
Wow.
So we got all this stuff happening in one day.
Knowledge shall increase.
So this is where the world is going.
Amazing.
And you know, I went to a CNN, a website that is tracking Trump's executive orders. Do you know how many executive orders up until yesterday morning, he's put out a few more. Do you know how many he's already executed? Well, how many he's put into?
No, I don't.
How many he's signed off? 143.
Wow, that's a lot.
143 executive actions so far.
Wow.
That's just ridiculous. Ridiculous. Presidents don't do this in an entire 4 years. 143. He's done this in 2 months.
Amazing.
People can't keep up. People can't keep up. It says here, you know, Trump has vowed to enact a sweeping agenda and reshape the federal government, saying in his inaugural address that the golden age of America was starting, and naming, and he goes and talks about some of these things. So this is the days and age we're in. Today, Donald Trump signs executive order requiring proof of citizenship in federal elections. That's just today. And that makes sense. But here's this one. This one will blow your socks off. Trump targets Jenner and Block. These are law firms in latest executive order aimed at law firms. So law firms that have either been, you know, giving him a hard time in the past or are going against his executive orders because they're all being taken to the court. All this stuff, the courts are having a field day at the moment and lawyers. He's saying if you are going to work against the agenda that the American people voted for, that I am now rolling out is how he has argued the case, you're going to be squashed. You're not going to have security clearances. So this is Donald Trump going to war with the judicial system. Like, this is epic. This has never happened before.
Absolutely.
So we're going to see where all this lands. All this is going to land in the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And we're going to see what the U.S. Supreme Court, which is stacked with Donald Trump friends, because he elected three of them in his last term. We're going to see what they decide. But there's a massive showdown on the way. This is huge.
This is unprecedented.
This is unprecedented.
These are sensational times. And in these times, we need the Lord.
Oh, absolutely.
So we're going to listen to Selah and Jill Phillips bring to us Sweet Jesus. And then after that, we'll probably have a little bit more of discussion on these things. And then get into our Bible study.
Sweet Jesus, my Savior, you are my faithful friend. You made me, and you know me, and you see my every sin. And my soul is amazed by this gift of your grace and these arms that take me in. Sweet Jesus, my Savior, you are my faithful friend.
Sweet Jesus, my shelter, you are my faithful friend. The I run to when my world comes closing in. Why should I be afraid when I know I am saved by the arms that take me in? Sweet Jesus, my shelter, you are my faithful.
My shepherd,
my shepherd,
you are my faithful friend. You hold me, you lead me, I'll follow till the end. And once more I will say on that beautiful day when your arms take me. Sweet Jesus, my shepherd, you are my faithful friend. Sweet Jesus, my Savior, you are my faithful friend.
Selah and Jill Phillips there bringing to us Sweet Jesus, and you're listening to the Looking Up program, and now we want to give away the code word so that you can all have access to today's amazing giveaway. It's called Messiah by Jerry D. Thomas. And you heard Rochelle give an amazing plug for that before as well. So the code word, if you're interested in obtaining one of these beautiful books for yourself, is the code word is
LU25.
Oh,
here we go. All righty. LU25 Dove, D-O-V-E.
Very good. So LU25 Dove. Text that through to 0488817624. And this book, if you're one of today's texters, will be coming to you, because as far as we can tell, there's no limit on these books and their availability. So we got more news to talk about?
We do. Well, there's a whole heap more, but we won't be able to get through it all because we want to get into our Bible studies. But as I was sharing before we went to that beautiful song, there's a real showdown now between Donald Trump, who is the executive branch of the United States, and the judicial branch, you know, the judges, the courts. And so we've got Congress as well. That's the third branch. So they are all supposed to work together. You know, there's supposed to be constitutional harmony and unity, but they are in a constitutional crisis. There's a war going on. And so we'll see where all this lands. The Bible tells us that strange developments will be taking place in the United States of America, because that's the heart of Bible prophecy. And so this polarization is just enormous. Just to illustrate that some more, and, you know, this was in this Time magazine. The headline was, "What are abortion shield laws?" I'd never heard of it. You hadn't heard of it when I asked you, you know, during the break. Well, these shield laws of abortion are 18 states, 18 of the 50 United States states,
right,
that have put in these shield laws. They're called novel protections. In other words, these are brand new. They've never, ever been rolled out before. Whereby, for example, in Alabama, if they have a law there stating that no medical practitioner in Alabama or anywhere in the United States can provide, say, abortion pills for, you know, women that ask for them, because the majority of abortions happen through pills in the United States of America. So if you can't get it in Alabama, people will, like, go to a state where you can. But there's a law in Alabama saying you can't do that. You can be prosecuted. So if you're in New York, where they've got laws allowing for that, and you're a practicing medical professional, and you send those abortion pills to that person in Alabama where it's illegal, then Alabama can prosecute you. They can bring you down from New York, and they can prosecute you.
Similar to the laws here about prayer.
Yeah, exactly, in Victoria. Yeah. For example, yeah, very, very good point. I didn't think of that. But exactly the same scenario, where it doesn't matter where you live in Australia. If you pray for someone in Victoria in connection with their gender identity, no matter where you are, the Victorian government can prosecute you. So they will extradite you from wherever you may be in Australia, bring you to Victoria, and there they will prosecute you. You'll go to before a judge and so on and so forth and face the law in Victoria. Well, that is what used to happen in the United States of America, because they've got different states, they've got different laws. If you break the law, no matter where you are, you know, you will be prosecuted. But now the shield laws have come into place, whereby in New York they've made a law that if you're a medical practitioner and someone asks you for help, for assistance, these medical abortion pills from Alabama, you can disregard that law. We will protect you. We will shield you. You send the stuff over, we will shield you. You cannot be extradited to Alabama, which would be the case under normal circumstances. So this is all now going to the Supreme Court as well.
Interesting.
So there's a massive showdown. There's incredible polarization. Incredible polarization.
Everywhere.
Absolutely everywhere, but especially in America. Why is the political tension and polarization in the United States the greatest, Charissa?
Because it's in Bible prophecy.
Because it's in Bible prophecy. There's no other reason why it's so enormous there. The gulf is so enormous there. Mm-hmm. So there's only one thing that's going to bring everyone together, and that's spiritual. That is spiritual. So guess what I decided to do? I decided to take a look at this Signs and Wonders Pentecostal movement. All right. So I went on to ChatGPT.
Yes.
And I asked to give me a history of the rapid rise of the Pentecostal movement since the start of the 20th century. I knew that it really got into high gear at the beginning of the 20th century, which is, you know, 1906 to be exact, okay, when the modern-day Pentecostal movement got up and going. I won't take the time to go through that history. People can do that on themselves. But do you realize how massive the modern day Pentecostal movement is today. It's the largest movement in Christianity.
Is it really?
In the space of 120 years since 1906, it is now a group scattered around the world of more than 600 million Christians.
Wow.
There's never, ever, listen to me carefully, Sharissa. There's never, ever been a spiritual movement since Pentecost that has grown this fast and spread this wide around the world.
Interesting. Why is it?
Why is this a big deal?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? This movement is founded and grounded on signs and wonders and the supernatural.
Hmm.
Guess what we have in Revelation 13, 11? Sorry, Revelation 13 and verse, 13 and 14. You got to read it. This is what we're seeing right now. Revelation 13, verse 13 and 14.
He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Oh, wow. Very interesting.
This is very powerful. Let me read to you the conclusion. Okay. Mm-hmm. This, I didn't make this up. I just asked ChatGPT to give me this and ChatGPT did it. You know, all for me. Really simple. Eight simple points.
Nice.
Okay. And this was the conclusion. From its early roots in the 19th century. Okay. That would be in the 1800s to its explosive global growth in the 20th and 21st centuries. The Pentecostal movement has become a global religious force. Its emphasis on the personal experience of the Holy Spirit, healing and empowerment has resonated with millions around the world, particularly in regions with social and economic challenges. Today, Pentecostalism stands as one of the most dynamic and fastest growing Christian movements in the world.
Wow.
It is sweeping the world like fire. What do we have here? We've got fire. And remember that word fire is the same word for fire at Pentecost. Now, there's nothing wrong. I mean, I believe in the speaking of tongues, and we will do a Bible study on this one day, maybe after we finish Israel in Prophecy, because this is very relevant.
Mm.
We'll look at what the Bible has to say about speaking in tongues. But sadly, Sharissa, this speaking in tongues movement is not from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm saying it. I'm not giving any evidence from Scripture just yet, but we'll do a Bible study on that.
I think our listeners would want you to do that.
We'll do a Bible study on that because I believe in backing everything up by Scripture. We don't have time to do that today because we're going to be tapping into Israel in prophecy. But this is interesting that this movement is just spreading and it's based on signs and wonders. Guess what? Paula Kane White,
mm-hmm.
the one in charge of the faith office for Donald Trump, she is a major player in the signs and wonders Pentecostal movement. She's huge. Huge, absolutely huge. All right, there's more. There is more. So that was that. Now, let's go to what's happening on the religious scene in connection with politics. You sent me a very interesting news article. Do you want to just talk about that?
Sure. Well, let me pull it up here. It says here, the title of it, American Orthodox Archbishop Praises Trump and Compares Him to Constantine the Great.
Mm-hmm.
I read that and I thought, oh, Danny would like that.
Oh, have mercy. Yeah.
Okay. Had you already seen it?
I had seen it, yeah.
There you go.
Not long before you sent it, but I'd seen
it. Wow, March 24, 2025. And just underneath, Archbishop, and I can't even say his name, of the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America praised President Donald Trump and compared him to Constantine the Great. He spoke next to the president at the White House on Monday to commemorate Greek Independence Day, also known as the celebration of the Greek Revolution, and the event celebrates the beginning of the Greek Revolution in 1821, which ultimately led to Greece's independence from the Ottoman Empire after nearly 400 years of occupation. So, amazing.
Incredible.
Because, of course, what did Constantine
do? tell our listeners.
I believe the thing that's coming to my mind is back in 321, he instituted the first Sunday law.
And he's the one that brought Christianity and the state together.
Right.
He's the that united church and state together.
Which was spoken of in one of the letters to the seven churches.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we've got the formation of church and state, which is the image of the beast, yeah. the image to the beast in the book of Revelation, which will be repeated at the end of time worldwide.
That's a very interesting huge point. Yeah.
There's more. You wouldn't have picked this up in the article. It wasn't in that article. But guess what?
What?
Donald Trump signed an executive order.
Not surprised.
In connection with this.
Did he really?
March 24. No jokes. It's on that CNN website that is tracking all of his 143 executive orders, and there's been a few more added since I've got this list. Have a listen to this. Greek Independence Day, a national day of celebration of Greek and American democracy, 2025. It was an executive order that Donald Trump signed.
Wow.
That is incredible. So this is we've never seen anything like this. We've never, ever seen anything like this. All right, there's more. Now, you didn't have this one.
No.
This is from the Christian Post, Friday, March 21, 2025. I'm telling you, it's coming thick and fast. The headline, Evangelical Leaders Pray Over Trump in Oval Office. And notice this is what they said. Faith is more important than ever before.
Wow.
This is huge. This is March 21. Now, they've been praying for him for a long time, okay? When he was inaugurated in 2016 and even before that, they were praying for him. And here's a picture that you can see.
Oh, wow.
They're all there.
I didn't see that anywhere.
At the Oval Office. Oh, well, that's why you got to come on the Looking Up show, Sharissa. You got to be part of the club. The club members get all the extras.
Whoa.
Club members. You know how, like, if you're a special member, you get extras?
There you go.
Anyway, this was interesting. Listen to this. Over a dozen Christian leaders prayed with President Donald Trump in the Oval Office this week, with one saying that the assassination attempt last summer has caused the president to embrace faith groups even more than he did in his first term.
Yeah. Keep going.
Led by White House Faith Office Senior Advisor Paula Whitecain, Trump's longtime spiritual advisor, the faith leaders met with Trump on Wednesday. Attendees included, and it goes through, and it names a lot of these people, and I'll tell you why this is a big deal. Anyway, this is what I'll just read to you. There is so much here, we don't have time, but I just want to share with you what one of the individuals, a pastor by the name of Reverend Samuel Rodriguez of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. Okay, mm-hmm. So these are all big wigs. These are not little Dannys running around there praying for Donald Trump. These are like the big wigs in the Christian movement. He says, with gratitude and humility, we pray for President Trump. You assigned him. You appointed. He prayed. This is part of his prayer. With gratitude and humility, we pray for President Trump. You assigned him. You appointed him. You anointed him for such a time as this. We ask you, they're praying to God, to cover him with the blood of Jesus, empowering him to advance an agenda of righteousness and justice, truth and love.
Wow.
Protect him from all evil as he undergirds our nation with the firewall of our Judeo-Christian value system. Do I need to unpack that for you?
No.
Fulfill your purpose in his life. And as a result, we pray by faith that through his leadership, the following will take place in America, the fulfillment of Isaiah 58, verse 8. And he quotes Isaiah 58, verse 8 as he's praying. Oh. Salvation will come like the dawn. Wounds will quickly heal. Godliness will lead us forward as the glory of God will protect us from behind. And in Jesus' name he prays, amen. Wow. They are saying it's time to bring God back. This is what we need more than ever before. Now, we need to be praying for our leaders. Absolutely. Yes. Paul says, pray for your leaders. Absolutely. But what we have now, unlike any other time in U.S. political and religious history, we have the two coming together. We've got church and state uniting.
It's just surreal, isn't it?
Unlike any other time.
It's like a movie, but it's not. It's reality.
It's not. And I won't take the time to read this one, but it says, yeah, Trump's prayer army, spiritual leaders who are guiding the president through his second term. This was a Daily Mail Australia article. And guess what? Most of them, if not all of them, are Christian nationalists.
Mm.
It's there. It goes through everyone. It's just mind-boggling.
Oh, friends, we've got so much more to talk about, and these are just amazing things that we've been discussing here. But right now, we're going to listen to Alison Krauss and the Cox family bring to us Where No One Stands Alone.
I stood in the night with my head
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Oh, that was beautiful. Beautiful song break there, and you are listening to the Looking Up program, and we want to remind you of today's giveaway, Messiah by Jerry D. Thomas. If you're interested in obtaining your own free copy, just text the code word LU25DOVE through to our studio number here, 0488 17624, along with any other comments or contributions you'd like to make to the program. We were just discussing some amazing news headlines, and yeah, just we are living in the end times.
We're living in historic times. And you shared an interesting comparison between Donald Trump and Constantine.
Yeah, well, it's not, apparently I wasn't the only one who thought of it. It was in the article, you said?
It was in the article,
which
indeed.
Which I hadn't read that part. But when we shared that article with you all about American Orthodox Archbishop praises Trump, compares him to Constantine the Great, I just said to Danny in the news, during that last song there, and I said, it reminds me of Constantine in the sense that Constantine had a dream before. It was at the Battle of the Milvian Bridge, mm-hmm. and in this dream,
a miraculous
or vision,
dream.
Yeah, some supernatural mm-hmm. phenomena, and then in that dream he was told to put the sign of the cross mm-hmm, on, mm-hmm. On the swords and
yep.
or the shields
on
and
the shields.
Standards of his soldiers. Mm-hmm. And if he did that, they would win the battle.
He marched them through the river.
Yep. And they won the next day.
They did.
And so he saw that as God's blessing upon his life. And
God intervened in a supernatural way to ensure that he became the emperor. Because there were two emperors.
Right.
Two emperors vying for the emperorship. If I could use that language, I don't think that's a proper word. But anyway, they were vying for who would be the emperor. He won the fight.
Yes.
He won the fight. And so, as a result, he credited Jesus Christ for the victory, and he became the first pagan Roman emperor to become a Christian.
Yes.
And so he Christianized the Roman Empire.
Mm. And I was just saying to you, and I think the article makes the same connection that what happened with Trump's assassination attempt is very similar in the sense that, you know, he believes God has saved his life for this purpose, and now he's acting on that premise, just like Constantine believed that God gave him that victory so many years ago and acted upon it. That's interesting in the book of Revelation, speaking of the Christian church during these times. Historically speaking, the letter to the church of Pergamos was a letter to the church that was in existence under the time of Constantine. And it was a compromising church. It was like before that, Christianity had been attacked under, you know, Smyrna in those times.
Yes.
But then we come to the time of Pergamos and it's time of compromise. And we see that happening under Constantine historically. And now we're seeing
in the union of church and state.
In a union of church and state, there has to be compromise. If always, the two are going to coexist,
always
there has to be compromise. But where does it lead? Well, the very next church is a corrupt church, the Church of Thyatira.
And that's the heart of the Dark Ages.
It is. And if we were to think of it like a literary mountain, like a chiasm, Thyatira is at the top of the literary mountain. And I think God strategically did that because Thyatira in times will repeat, because during those times, the medieval Church of the Dark Ages was sort of ruling. It would come back to power. And it was during those times that, you know, God's people were very much under attack, but God was still with his people in those times.
Absolutely. So it's fascinating how we have the same scenario being played out today. You know, like 1,700 years later, literally, you know, from that period to today, you know, we've got this incredible scenario that is being played out. So only God knows, but I suspect Donald Trump has no idea really what is at stake here, how the religious right in America, especially, you know, these Christian nationalists, we need to do a whole program on that, because that's a big thing. People may be wondering, what on earth is Christian nationalism? Yes, you can Google it, you can check it out. But basically, in a nutshell, it's when the church or religion makes its way into the government and asks the government to legislate on its behalf, to legislate morality, you know, to legislate even beyond morality. And so that is happening right now more and more. And a lot of these executive orders are tending in that direction. Project 2025, tending in that direction, including, you know, there's a Sabbath mandate there that Project 2025 is calling on Congress to get involved in. No. Congress doesn't get involved in the first four commandments, Charissa. You know, Roger Williams made that very clear. And he's the one that began, you know, Rhode Island, which was to be the model state for the United States when it put together its constitution.
Right.
When it was formed. So this is all taking place right now. We are seeing this pendulum swinging in a way that we have not witnessed before. Charissa, we say that over and over again, and I don't want to be seen as, you know, just being over the top, using hyperbole, but the reality is, folk, we are living in a time that we have never lived before when it comes to the merging of church and state in the United States of America, according to Bible prophecy, fulfilling what is about to take place. So we are seeing the beginnings of that. It's going to be, it's going to take time, maybe not a lot of time, I believe, but there will be time, incremental steps that will be taken.
Yes.
And they're being taken very quickly, as we see, heading to this full union, a full union of church and state.
Amazing.
So, you know, and so Donald Trump is being seen as a savior type of figure. And it's interesting, if I could just share this, while he was the president the first time round, guess what he did? He decided that no longer would the United States recognize Tel Aviv as the capital of Israel, but they would recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Why is that? For the sake of the evangelicals that see Israel at the temple. And see Israel's capital as Jerusalem. And guess what they did? An Israeli group there minted a Trump coin to honor his recognition of Jerusalem. Did you know that?
I did not.
1,000 coins with the U.S. president's image alongside Get ready, King Cyrus. No, wait, I'm telling
you. He's like Constantine and Cyrus.
So you got Donald Trump's head with Cyrus's head on the coin.
Amazing.
Guess what Cyrus is credited for doing? Returning the people of Judah back from Babylon, back into their homeland to rebuild the temple, to rebuild Jerusalem. Mm. Cyrus was considered to be the savior of the Jewish people 2,500 years ago,
mm-hmm.
after they'd been taken into captivity by the Babylonians.
Yep.
Today, the Jews consider Donald Trump as their savior figure who will rescue them from their enemies that surround them that are trying to wipe them off the map.
Amazing.
I'm telling you, this is just incredible. Just incredible. Amazing. All right. We do need to get to the Bible study, but I do need to share a couple more things with you. All right. This is interesting. Unprecedented. U.S. bishops back Oklahoma Catholic Charter School at Supreme Court. There's a huge item. First time ever.
Another huge one.
A huge one. Yep. There's a Catholic charter school. Okay. Now, charter schools in America are private schools that are secular. But this is a religious school that is a charter school, and it's obviously not secular. And they want to receive funding from the government, like the secular charter schools. You can be a charter religious school in America, but you mm-hmm. can't receive funding from the government.
Right.
But a private charter school that's secular can. And they're taking it to the Supreme Court saying, we are a charter school. Although we are religious, we have the right to receive government funding.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be
Watch
interesting.
This space.
Watch this space. That's from March 15, 2025. So you're going to be hearing all about that. Governor Cox of Utah signs law letting cake shops stay closed on Sunday without penalty. Up until this point in shopping centers, you know, you've got shopping centers and the shops have to stay open. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the law if you want to operate in a shopping center, you know, in a mall, you've got to keep your shop open during certain hours.
Yes.
But now the governor of Utah has signed a law that because of your religious beliefs, even if the shopping center, the mall has a law that everybody has to be opened at certain times, if that conflicts with your religious views, being Sunday, you will not face any prosecution. They cannot tell you to leave. You will not face any penalties.
And that could work well for people who aren't, like, for the Sabbath.
Absolutely.
Sabbath.
But they've never had that before. So this is a first.
Right.
This is another first. Here's an interesting one. What was this one? Lawmakers across U.S. push for 10 commandments in public schools. Why would we not mention God? Yes, we've talked about that. Do you know how many there are now? I read here there's up to, 14 states since the first one rolled out last year. We talked about that. Since the first one rolled out last year, now there's 14 Republican states where legislators are aiming to reintroduce Christian principles in public schools. 14.
Amazing.
From one last year, less than 12 months ago, to 14 today.
Wow.
It's not even 12 months. Okay. This is all happening thick and fast. The Bible in schools, that number is growing. The states are growing. We're up to 3 in that space. Then when it comes to, you know, when it comes to prayer in public schools, that number is growing as well. There are 3 states, Texas, Alabama, and Indiana, that are requiring prayer in public schools. Indiana is kind of leaving it a bit optional. But in Texas,
it's a revival of spirituality and interest mm-hmm. in all spaces in America. Mm-hmm.
This is all happening. We don't have time to talk about the 7 mountains of Christian nationalism.
We should also probably mention that in spite of all of these things that are happening, mm-hmm. there is still a lot of pushback.
Oh, this huge. This is all going to the courts.
Yes.
So,
and the fact that the court is also pushing back on a number of these things too is also significant, which makes me think that it will take some sort of supernatural phenomenon to really bring everybody together.
Absolutely. There's no other way.
Everything is all in place, but until something outside of us happens, that's not going to unite everybody.
Like, exactly.
Even Project 2025 can't continue.
No.
Unless there's something.
The polarization will continue. Like, I've got a really good friend. And he said to me, Danny, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you believe the Bible is saying in connection with the end of time and this pendulum swing and everyone getting on board. But I just don't see it happening.
Right.
I just see this gulf getting wider and wider and wider, which it is. Yes. Everyone can see that. So it has to be a spiritual out of this world event or events that take place that bring everyone together. And guess what? We had just over 20 years ago when September 11 hit, Sharissa.
Yeah, that
Republicans, Republicans and Democrats, there's photos. People can go online. They can look at the photos. Republicans and Democrats were on their knees praying together.
Mm.
What brought them together? September 11.
Yep, a September, crisis.
A crisis brought them together on their knees.
Yep.
In the days of Jonah. You remember in the days of Jonah when the ship is about to sink?
Yes.
What does the captain say? The
Everyone pray to your God.
He says to the Republicans, to the Democrats, to the Independents, pray to your gods.
Yes.
And they all did. They all prayed to their various gods.
And only one of them knew why the storm was there.
And he was asleep. There's a story there as well. There's a story
there. There's a sermon there.
Surely the people of God are not asleep at the wheel right now.
Yeah.
I suspect many of them are. We're just caught up in, you know, the attractions and distractions of this world. And,
Well, life is just moving so fast, it's hard to keep up.
It is. But the good news is if we're in the Word, if we're close to Jesus, we don't need to be afraid. Amen. We don't need to worry. And Jesus told us, you know, I've told you all these things before they come to pass, that when they do come to pass, you may believe. So what we are seeing, we expected to see, Sharissa.
Yes.
You know, this is nothing new. So we're going to see what happens, what transpires, what great signs and wonders take place. Only God knows, but we are in a time and place where we are seeing Bible prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes at a very rapid pace. And you're not going to see that in the news headlines. You're going to have to read the Bible in order to put the prophetic pieces together. Absolutely.
Oh, what a plug.
All right, that's going to be it, folk. No more. There's plenty more, but we're just going to leave all that for next week. But then there'll be more stuff next week. I can't catch up. I literally can't catch up.
I think we just have to let some things go.
We do, like a lot of things. But we're going to get into our Bible study. We've only got one segment, and we're going to deal with the Bible study in the next 15 minutes.
All right. Well, I guess we should, we're going to go to a beautiful song, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah by Randall Goodgame. And we look forward to getting into our Bible study in just a moment, because that's really the most important thing, to study God's Word in these times, these very uncertain and shaky times that we're living in. God's Word continues to be certain and sure. So be blessed as we listen to this hymn.
Guide me, O Thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty, hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want. Crystal fountain, whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be Thou still my strength and shield. Be Thou still my strength and shield.
Destruction. time. Songs of praises, songs of praises I will ever give to thee.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Hey, it's Lyle here. There's nothing I love more than digging deep into the Bible, and I really love helping others understand God's Word. Every Thursday at 5 p.m, I have a segment on the Afternoons with Shell show where I answer all your Bible questions. Big or small, simple or hard, it will get answered. Whether you have a question you want to send in, or you just want to learn from others, tune in at 5 p.m. Thursday and text 0488880856.
Set my heart on things above.
This is the Looking Up program. We're about to go into our Bible study. We're so glad you're joining us. And a reminder of the code word, LU25DOVE, is the word to text through to our number 0488817624. And all those who text in the code word, LU25DOVE, to the number 0488817624, all of you can be winners today.
So, amen.
All right, we're
it's
ready.
A great book. All right, well, there's a whole heap more, but we're going to leave that. And next week, we're going to have a different setup. So we've got something exciting next week for our program. So we're going to see how that all goes. But we're going to have a different setup for next week. But it's going to be fun. You're going to really enjoy it. And by the way, Charissa.
Yes.
Our friend.
Which friend? We have so many friends.
our friend, Pastor Dr. Dwight Nelson.
Oh, yes.
He has done a series, a short little three-part series on America and prophecy.
Funny, I listened to one of them too.
Did you now?
Yeah, so it was something about, I can't remember, but yeah.
Well, yeah, he calls it American Apocalypse.
That's, yeah,
American Apocalypse. So, yeah, he's convinced, as we are, that we're nearing the end.
And actually, I had invited him to come across to Australia to do something for a prayer conference, I think this last one. Mm. And he wrote me back at the time and he said he couldn't come. He doesn't travel overseas anymore. He feels very called to the United States right now and waking up the people there.
Yeah.
And this is why, because he shares that conviction.
Absolutely. I remember, you know, the three things that he says, you know, I believe we're living on the edge of eternity was number one. He believes the coming of Jesus is sooner than we think. And number three, America's in trouble.
Mm.
They are his three key points. And he shares basically what we do, and he shared a few things. But anyway, all right, folk, we're gonna now move into our Bible study.
Yeah.
So Israel in prophecy, how does all this fit into the biblical prophetic narrative? So in case you're joining us for the very first time, just a quick overview. The United States and Israel, they have a very, very close connection, and they especially have been connected since 1948 when, you know, Israel received its independence.
Right.
Where the United Nations gifted or gave Israel back its land. And so the United Nations, you know, they divided the land of Palestine into two, the state of Israel and the state of Palestine, as it is today. Now, there's been a lot of chopping and changing in connection with borders and who resides where and so forth. And that continues to this day. But sadly, there have been so many wars. Do you know that the very next day after Israel received its independence from the United Nations, the very next day, the surrounding Arab nations, several of them went to war with Israel.
Really?
They went to war because they did not recognize their independence.
Yep.
And so ever since then, there have been wars, you know, 1956, 1967, 1973, and, you know, what we currently have. So there's been ongoing conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And we discovered last week that this all stems from the very beginning when Abraham had two sons. One of them was Ishmael. He's the father of the Arab people, the father of the Palestinian people. You could say the father of the Muslim nation, yeah, in many ways. And then you've got Isaac, who is the father of the Jewish nation, the father of Christianity, because Christianity stems from Judaism, mm-hmm, as we well know. And so we discovered last week that this seed that God promised that would come through Abraham's descendants ultimately was not a people, was a person.
Mm. And that capital S seed
that God told Adam and Eve, I will send, and that would be the Savior of the world. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is the one that fulfilled the covenant, because his people, you know, his physical chosen people, the children of Israel, like what we would have,
yeah,
they broke the covenant. So Jesus fulfilled the covenant.
It's very interesting in looking at, as you make that point, looking at the life of Jesus in the Gospels, like how he goes into the wilderness for 40 days, mm-hmm, after his baptism. Mm-hmm. So after they passed through the Red Sea, they went into the wilderness for 40 years. Like he's almost like he's mimicking the journey of Israel in his life, so that everywhere where they failed, he could be victorious.
Mm, amen.
So he can be victorious for us.
Amen. 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 So why don't you start off with a prayer?
Sure. Father in heaven, thank you that we can have this time to study the Bible. And we pray and ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us as we do, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. So Exodus 19, we were there last week. But you might just want to just quickly have a look at Exodus 19 there, mm-hmm, before the giving of the Ten Commandments.
Yep.
Where God here makes a covenant with his people. And if you want to just read verse 5 and 6, please.
Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel.
Okay, so God's plan was for the children of Israel to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Mm-hmm. And when you read, you know, verse 8, it says there, then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. But was that the case?
No,
it wasn't.
No sooner did they say that than a few chapters later, they're dancing around a golden calf.
Exactly. They broke the covenant.
Yes.
They broke the covenant even before Moses had an opportunity to come down from the mountain with the physical Ten Commandments that God gave him. So he spoke the Ten Commandments to the people. That's in Exodus 20. And then he gave the Ten Commandments that he wrote with his own hand. And so that was the Old Testament. So now we come to Christ in the New Testament. We discovered last week that Christ fulfilled the covenant,
mm-hmm,
between God and man, mm, perfectly. He is the perfect covenant keeper. And now we have what God's plan is for his people and who Israel is at the end of time. And, well, who Israel is from the days of Christ.
Mm.
If you go to 1 Peter, mm-hmm, and notice the language here. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9.
Mm-hmm. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Okay. Now, is Peter here speaking only of the Jews, physical Jews?
No.
Who's he talking about?
God's people in every age.
God's people in absolutely every age. In fact, if you want to read verse 10, it makes that perfectly clear.
Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
So there you go.
Yes.
So now the Israel of God, right, is all those that have put their faith and trust in Christ.
Amen.
So whether you live in Israel, whether you live in Gaza, whether you live in Jordan, whether you live wherever you live in the world, it matters not where you live. If you are part of Christ's family, you are now part of his royal priesthood.
If you've obtained the mercy of God.
Yes.
And anyone who has given their life to Christ and responded to his love in giving himself for us, we've received of the mercy of God.
Indeed. Indeed. Now, it's interesting that when it comes to what God values as far as who we are and our identity It's not on genetics. It's not on your bloodline. It's not on your ethnicity, but it's on something far more important. Go to John, please, if you could. Go to John. John chapter 1 and verse 47. Now, Jesus here meets Nathanael.
Mm-hmm.
John chapter 1, verse 47. And notice what he says to Nathanael. John chapter 1, verse 37. Sorry, John 1, 47.
Yes. The Bible says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit."
Hang on a minute. How does this work, Charissa? Yeah. Wasn't Nathanael an Israelite? Like, wasn't he, like, by birth, ethnically an Israelite already?
Yeah.
Well, what does Jesus say, an Israelite indeed? What does he mean?
I don't know. What does he mean?
So can you be an Israelite? Can you be an Israelite indeed and not be an Israelite? Yes, apparently so. Go over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and here Jesus is having a discussion with the Jewish religious leaders.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly thought they were Israelites indeed, don't you reckon?
Yes.
The Jewish religious leaders. Now have a look at what transpires here. All right, let's read John 8, verse 37 to verse 39.
"I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me," Jesus says, "because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham."
Wow. Okay.
Wow, yeah, that's pretty direct.
It is very direct. So Jesus is saying to these individuals, he's saying, you think you're Abraham's descendants,
mm-hmm.
but you're not really. Because if you were truly Abraham's descendants, you would do the will of God.
Mm.
You would do the things that please God. You would accept me as the Messiah, as the promised Messiah, because I am fulfilling all the requirements, all the promises on fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament, not as you would want them, because guess what they wanted? They wanted an earthly kingdom.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus didn't come to establish an earthly kingdom. That's exactly what our evangelical friends in the United States want today.
Mm.
They want an earthly kingdom. Mm. But Jesus came and he said, "I've come to bring forth a heavenly kingdom." They're looking for a kingdom on earth, a millennium of peace on earth.
Oh, wouldn't it be so much better to have a millennium with Jesus in heaven?
Well, we're going to cover that. We're going to cover that. So it's interesting. You know, Jesus then in verse 44, just fast forward to verse 44, what Jesus says to them.
"You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it."
Wow. So they thought they were children of Abraham, but they were children of who? Of the devil.
Yeah.
These are the words of Jesus. Like, you didn't make that up.
Yeah, that's really
That's strong. Pretty hectic.
It is.
That's very strong.
Yes.
So in order to be a son or a daughter of Abraham today, we need to be willing to follow God's will according to his word.
Amen.
And then we are indeed children of Abraham. These are the words of Jesus.
So that's the bottom line right there.
That's the bottom line
there. To be a spiritual Israelite.
Indeed.
A child of Abraham.
Absolutely.
Follow God and do his will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go to one more scripture.
Yes.
Go to Matthew chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. This time, it's the wily, I shouldn't say wily, that's not the right word. The firebrand is the word I was looking for. The firebrand, John the Baptist.
Mm.
And he's preaching on the banks of the Jordan River. And here he's speaking to those who claim to be the children of Abraham. Matthew 3, verses 8 to 10, please.
"Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire."
Fruits of obedience. So John the Baptist says God can raise children of Abraham from these very rocks. Mm. Now, in the days of Christ, in the days of John the Baptist, the Jews often considered the Gentiles as rocks.
Mm.
Why is that? Because they believed they had stony hearts. They couldn't be saved. You know, that's why a Jew would not perform tasks on the Sabbath that they believe were not in harmony with the keeping of the Sabbath, but they would ask their Gentile neighbor to perform that task on their behalf because their Gentile neighbor wasn't going to heaven anyway. It didn't matter. They were not going to be saved anyway, so it didn't make a difference between whether they broke the Sabbath or kept the Sabbath, as far as a Jew was concerned in the days of Christ. And so here, John the Baptist is saying, you are only a son of Abraham. Once again, it's their faithfulness to God and his covenant through obedience to Christ.
Amen.
Through faith.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
It does. I think that's a very powerful point.
So, we've got one more scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Have we got a couple minutes?
You have.
All right. We've got a couple more minutes. I want to go to Romans. I want to go to the Apostle Paul. Mm-hmm. Go to Romans 2. Verse 28 and 29, Romans 2, 28 and 29.
Okay.
If you could read that, please.
All right. The Bible says, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God."
Okay. So what does the Apostle Paul here say? Who is a true Jew? Is that outward or is it inward?
It's inward.
Inward.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's what God is looking for today. He's looking for individuals who are sons and daughters of Abraham who are circumcised of the heart, you know, circumcised in that way. Now, we'll skip over Romans chapter 9, verses 6 to 8, but I'm just putting it out there in case someone's making notes. Romans 9, 6 to 8, where Abraham is spoken of as the father of the faithful who lived by faith, right? So, but I want to go to Galatians. A couple more scriptures. We're going to finish off with Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul once again writing here, Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. If you could read that, please.
"Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith in the son, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham."
Okay. So how do we become a son or a daughter of Abraham?
Through faith.
Through faith.
And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Exactly. 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 Mm-hmm. So, if you want to just, we'll tie this up with verses 28 and 29.
"There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise."
Wow, there we go. Wasn't that a drum roll right there?
So we're all Israelites?
We're all Israelites. We're all Israelites. If we are in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. So this whole idea of Israel being at the very center of end time prophecy in connection with a literal physical people who are Jews, that's not biblical.
The Israel that is at the center of Bible prophecy is God's people.
Exactly. They're the remnant.
In Christ.
They're the remnant at the end of time in Revelation 12, 17, who are described as here are those who keep the commandments of God, you know, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Powerful.
And the dragon is angry with them.
Yes.
Because that's the covenant. The Ten Commandments is God's law of love. It's the transcript of his character. It's the whole of Scripture. And that is what the Bible teaches. So, folk, I hope and pray that you understand that we have a high priest. He is Jesus Christ. And he's inviting all to come into union with him, be sons and daughters of Abraham, ultimately sons and daughters of Christ.
Amen.
And just one more scripture, if you want to read Galatians 6, 14 to 16.
"The Bible says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. Amen.
And verse 16.
And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God.
There you go.
Beautiful.
There you go. So once again, scriptures are super duper clear that anyone who is in Christ is a son or a daughter of Abraham. They are heirs according to the promise. They inherit the covenant that Jesus came and established with his own blood.
Mm.
With his own blood. And so we're all sons and daughters. Isn't that beautiful?
The
doors are open wide. Exciting. No one has any special privileges.
Mm.
Because of their ethnicity.
The ground is level at the foot of the cross.
It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. And after this beautiful song that you're going to introduce in just a moment, as we wrap up, I'm going to go to the apocalypse.
No, there's no song. Oh, there's no song.
There's no song. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So as we look to wrap up
this
part of the Bible study, next week we're going to look at part two.
Part three.
And if you go to the book of Revelation, go to the book of Revelation. This is so exciting. Now that we know who the Israel of God is, go to Revelation chapter 7. And here at the end of time, we have the sealing taking place.
Yes.
God's people are sealed. They're secure in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. They have refused the mark of the beast, even though that meant they could not buy and sell, and even though their lives may have been, you know, at risk of being snuffed out. But like the three Hebrews on the plain of Jura, they remain faithful to Jesus Christ. And here in Revelation 7, if you want to read verses 1 to 4, we have a description of that all taking place at the end of time.
After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed.
Okay, so and then it describes, it goes through these 12 tribes and don't have time to get into that. We're not talking literal tribes, are we?
Well, no, because they don't exist.
Because they don't exist, you know. We are talking the children of Israel, according to the New Testament, which are the descendants of Jesus Christ, those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And we can marry this scripture here, those who are sealed in their foreheads, with Revelation chapter 14 and verse 1.
Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads.
So these are the Israel of God.
That's Israel right there.
So what does a name represent in Bible?
Character.
Character. They've got the character of God written on their foreheads.
Oh, that's a beautiful place to land right there.
Absolutely. And who are they? They are described in verse 5. Sorry, in verse 4, as these are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes, because they've been redeemed from the earth. They follow the Lamb. Who's the Lamb?
Jesus.
They follow him wherever he goes.
They follow him. They receive of his grace, and it transforms their lives to
They're the seal. They're secure. Absolutely. Beautiful. It's just so, so beautiful. And they preach God's final message of love to the world.
We ended looking up right there.
Yes, we did.
Even John was looking up.
He was.
And behold.
Then I looked up and behold. No, he doesn't have the word up. But yeah, he's obviously looking up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, very powerful. So the Bible is just so beautiful and so clear when we put the biblical pieces together. And that's what we've done. We've just done a Bible study.
Yeah, I think it's very exciting. I think the fact that, you know, everybody thinks that Israel, physical Israel, is this epicenter of Bible prophecy, but to realize it's actually the spiritual Israel of God that is the epicenter of Bible prophecy, that makes a lot of sense. And, that's very exciting.
It is very exciting. So we're heading to that time when the sealing will be taking place. I mean, we want to be sealed with Christ all the time. This is not just an event that happens at the end of time. Yes, it will happen in a very special sense when that final showdown takes place.
Yes.
But we can be sealed with God today and every day. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit seals us for the day of redemption. So
He's sanctifying us.
Yes, sanctifies us and enables us to be faithful and true to God and his word.
Amen. Pastor Danny, could you close with a prayer for us?
Ah, yes, please. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you and praise you for your blessings. And we ask and pray, dear Lord, that you will indeed seal us through your word. And Lord, we know that that final showdown is not far distant. But Lord, we don't have tomorrow or the next day guaranteed. We've only got today. And I just pray, dear Lord, that all of us, all our listeners, will accept you, Lord, as Lord and Savior, that they will indeed choose to be part of your people, choose to be part of the Israel of God, and choose to follow the Lamb, Jesus Christ, wherever he goes. Dear Lord, seal us, prepare us, sanctify us, and may we be used by you as your final end time ambassadors to invite others to be part of your everlasting kingdom of love, joy, and peace, where there'll be no more suffering, sorrow, sadness, and sin. We long for that day, and until then, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And we want to thank you all for joining us. We trust that you have learned something. I have. I always learn something on this program, and I hope that you are blessed. We look forward to your company same time next week, where we continue with part 3 of Israel and Bible prophecy. And I'm really excited about where this is going. It's going to be a great study. So until then, a lot's going to happen between now and then, but until then, remember that fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. So keep looking up, and may God bless you all. Take care.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up should the tears begin to start. With a prayer, all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.
Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. And turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. And go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. And turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dear in the light of his glory, in the light.